Hey everyone, ready for a deep dive into something I think a lot of us find ourselves either in or around at some point, caregiving. And we're going to be adding another layer to it today, looking at the unique experiences of highly sensitive people, or HSPs, as caregivers.
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny how many people don't really realize the intense empathy and just the sensory input HSPs deal with on a daily basis. So then you layer on the emotional dedication of caring for a loved one. It's a dynamic we really need to understand
Yeah,
both.
sure.
You actually sent this website in,
Oh, cool.
and it's called Safe Space for Pflegende Angehörige mit Hochsensibilität, HSP and Fehlbegabung,
Okay.
which translates to Safe Space for Caregivers with High Sensitivity and Giftedness.
I love it.
So let's unpack that, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
So tell me a little bit about this website and what it's all about.
Well, I think the name itself speaks volumes about the needs and the strengths that HSPs bring to caregiving. It's a path that demands resilience, self-awareness, and honestly, a good dose of self-care.
Right. And speaking of someone who gets it, tell me a little bit about the woman behind this resource.
Yeah, so her name is Ajana, and she is an HSP herself, a gifted individual and a caregiver. She spent 6 years caring for her mother, and yeah, it was an experience that really shaped her understanding of emotional well-being. So that's kind of what led her to create this website, offering a free PDF download and then a more in-depth online course to really support others.
I love that she's not just talking the talk, she's walked the walk. See, that's important to me when I see someone who's actually done the thing that they're trying to teach other people how to do. It just gives so much more weight and credibility in my mind.
For sure.
So, what are some of the key takeaways you gathered from the site? What
Oh.
really resonated with you?
You know what really struck me was the emphasis on the kind of dual nature of being an HSP in a caregiving situation. So it's incredibly rewarding, to provide care, especially with that depth of empathy that HSPs have. But that very same sensitivity also makes them more susceptible to overwhelm and burnout. So it's like walking this tightrope.
It's like you can't pour from an empty cup. If you are constantly, absorbing the emotions and the needs of the person that you're caring for, how are you also taking care of yourself?
And Ajana, she doesn't shy away from the challenges. She tackles them head on. And one of her core messages is about building resilience through self-trust, particularly learning to trust your intuition as an HSP. And she even introduces this five-step framework called EVE. Okay, so you've been diving deep into this EVE thing, right? A whole self-guided course, and it's all about building confidence. But the thing is, it seems like it's really for a specific type of person.
Yeah, you picked up on that. It's definitely targeted, and you're right. It's a group that we don't always hear a lot about in like the whole self-help world.
It seems like it's really speaking to women, especially who are, highly sensitive emotionally. And on top of that, they're in these caregiving roles, which adds a whole other layer.
And those are already tough, right? I mean, caregiving just by itself, it can be really demanding. It takes so much out of you. And then you put that together with someone who's already experiencing things, feeling things more intensely.
It's like everything's amplified. And the materials we're looking at, they don't shy away from those hard parts at all.
Not even a little bit.
They talk about this feeling of being drained all the time, like you're constantly on empty.
Yeah, that exhaustion.
And then, like losing yourself in that caregiver role, like you're not even sure who you are outside of taking care of everyone else.
Right, that loss of identity, it's huge.
And then the emotions themselves, just feeling overwhelmed by it all, like you can't catch a break, feeling like nobody hears you. And maybe the worst part, or at least one of them,
Oh, tell me.
that feeling of not being able to trust your own gut, not even trusting your own perceptions of things.
Wow. You're really getting to the heart of it. It's like a recipe, right? All these experiences, they mix together, and it's no wonder that something like this EVEE program, it just clicks for people, for this group especially.
It's like it was made for them. But before we get too far ahead, I think it would help to like break down what those letters even stand for.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's unpack that acronym.
So EVEE, it's German, right?
Yeah.
Stands for Erinnern, Vertrauen, Erschaffen, Erlauben, Erlauben. And bear with me here, but in English, those translate to remember, trust, create, allow, experience. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Lay it on me.
This isn't some system you just slap on, like a positive affirmation or some external framework. It's about going inward, tapping into something that's already there.
That inner wisdom.
Exactly. It's like we already have that knowing within us.
That's a big deal. And it's so different from what we usually hear. You know, I mean, so much the self-improvement stuff out there, it's all about looking outside yourself for validation.
Oh, 100%. Like achieving some perfect image. But it's like, what if that's not even the answer? What if the real key is to reconnect with ourselves?
With that internal compass we all have, it's like that Einstein quote.
Oh, yeah. You can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
So if we're stuck, if we've been trying to build self-confidence, yeah, looking for those external validations, and it's not working.
Maybe it's time to try something different.
Totally. A totally different perspective, like a fundamental shift.
And that's where things get really interesting, I think. This idea of real change, it has to come from within. It's not about a quick fix, right? It's not like slapping on a Band-Aid. And I can see how those external things, they can be useful, like tools, but...
But they're not getting to the root of the issue.
Exactly. They might help with the symptoms for a bit, but...
Yeah.
So I'm curious, with this EVE program, how do they actually, like, walk you through that internal shift? What's the format? What's it like?
Well, it's set up as this 21-day process. Their whole thing is that in that time frame, you can have a big shift in consciousness.
21 days? Is that even, like, possible? I mean, we're talking about changing thought patterns, beliefs that have been there for years, maybe decades.
It's a good question. And I wouldn't say 21 days is some magic number, like, boom, you're totally different. But it does seem like that's often the minimum amount of time it takes for us to actually form a new habit.
It's that consistency.
Exactly. And the good thing about EVE is that it focuses on things that are actually doable, sustainable practices, like, you know, simple stuff.
Simple? How so?
Well, they emphasize things like mindful breathing, just becoming more aware, journaling.
Okay, so not some crazy overhaul of your whole life.
No, but those small things, if you do them consistently, they can make a big difference. They can really shift things internally. It's like that ripple effect.
Small changes, big impact.
Okay.
Okay, so speaking of impact, let's talk about what EVE claims it can do. Because honestly, it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
They're talking about more energy, more resilience, better time management, a stronger connection to intuition.
Those are huge.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they even touch on things like faster healing, like physically, and unexpected money coming your way.
It does sound a little too good to be true when you put it like that.
Right. But then again, what if it's not about those outcomes being the goals themselves? What if it's about that inner confidence, that connection to yourself, and then those other things, they just kind of naturally fall into place.
It's definitely an interesting thought. Like, maybe it's all connected. You create that sense of self-trust, that inner peace. And then, yeah, maybe those positive changes, they start to show up everywhere.
It makes you wonder. Maybe it's not about chasing after those external things, but about something much deeper. It's like those benefits, they become less about, you know, checking things off a list, like, look what I achieved, and more about, like, who you are deep down. And that actually reminds me, in all of this, there's this big emphasis on personal responsibility. And they don't sugarcoat it. They're saying straight up, change can be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's so important, right? Because there's this whole culture of quick fixes, instant gratification. But real change, the kind that lasts, and it seems like that's what EVE is going for, it takes effort. You gotta be willing to do the work.
So it's not about blaming yourself for where you are, but it's saying, hey, you have the power to choose something different, even if that path, it's not always easy.
And that's the thing, right? It's not always going to be sunshine and roses.
So how do we balance that? Like, how do we balance taking responsibility, being willing to do that work, but also, like, not being too hard on ourselves when things get tough? Like, where's that self-compassion fit in?
Oh, it's such a dance, isn't it? And honestly, I think it's something we're all figuring out as we go. But for me, it helps to remember that self-care, it's not always about, you know, bubble baths and treating yourself. Sometimes the kindest thing you can do is to actually sit with the discomfort, to really listen to what it's trying to tell you, and then choose what's best for you, even when it's hard.
That's really powerful. And it actually makes me think about another concept that comes up a lot, intuition. They even call it spiritual pathfinder in these materials. What do you think about that?
I love that spiritual pathfinder. It's such a cool way to think about it, right? Like, we all have this inner compass, this ability to just sense the way forward, even when, like, logic or what's going on around us might be telling us to go a different way. It's like trusting that deep down we already know.
Like those old-time explorers venturing out into the unknown. They had their maps and compasses, but they also had to trust their gut, their internal guidance system. So I'm curious, what role does intuition play for you in your own life and your work?
You know, it's funny because I've always thought of myself as a pretty logical person. Like, I like data, evidence, all of that. And in my work, that's a big part of it. But I've realized that some of the best ideas, those breakthroughs, they don't come from just thinking my way through it. They come when I actually allow myself to tap into that quiet, intuitive voice.
There's that quote, I love it. It says, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, the rational mind a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift."
Right, we're practically trained to ignore our intuition, to put logic on a pedestal. But what if, like EVE is suggesting, the real magic happens when those two things work together?
So how do we start to do that? Like, how do we strengthen that intuitive muscle, especially if we've spent so much time doubting it or pushing it away?
It's a practice, just like anything else. And I think mindfulness is a huge part of it. Just starting to pay attention to those subtle nudges, those gut feelings, without immediately dismissing them as silly or irrational.
And what about those times when our intuition, it seems like it's leading us down a path that doesn't make sense, at least not logically? How do we know when to trust it and when to maybe question it a little?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I don't think there's one right answer for everyone. But for me, it often comes down to this: does it feel aligned with my values, my deepest desires? Does it feel expansive? Or does it feel like it's shrinking me, making me smaller?
So maybe that's where that trust comes in, like trusting yourself to make those decisions, even when they don't seem logical on paper, even when that doubt creeps in.
Because it will. The doubt will always be there. But the more we practice listening to our intuition, honoring it, the more confident we become in our ability to actually tell the difference between what it's saying and all that noise from our fears and insecurities.
And speaking of fears and insecurities, we can't talk about all of this without talking about the shadow self. Right? That's another theme that comes up in these materials. And it's interesting because they talk about integrating those parts of ourselves that we don't like, which seems a little counterintuitive, especially when we're talking about building self-confidence.
Yeah, it's not what you'd expect, right? We usually think self-improvement is all about like striving for perfection, focusing on the positive, and just pretending the negative stuff doesn't exist. But what EVE seems to be saying is that real wholeness, real confidence comes from embracing all of it, even the messy stuff, the parts we'd rather hide.
So it's not about pretending those shadow parts don't exist. It's about what, like bringing them into the light?
Exactly. Because those parts, those things we judge in ourselves, those things we deem unacceptable, they don't just go away if we ignore them. They tend to fester, you know? And they can end up influencing us, our thoughts, our actions, our relationships in ways we might not even realize.
It's like trying to hold a beach ball underwater. You can try so hard to keep it down there, but eventually it's going to pop back up. And probably with more force than if you had just let it float in the first place. So, how do we even start to work with those shadow parts of ourselves? Honestly, it feels a little intimidating.
It can be, for sure. It's not something to rush into. It's more about like gentle exploration,
Yeah.
almost like making friends with those parts of ourselves that we've been taught to fear or reject.
So, where do we even begin?
Well, awareness is always a good starting point. Just acknowledging that we all have those shadow aspects, that it's a normal part of being human, that in itself can be really freeing. And from that place of awareness, then we can start to get curious, not judgmental, just curious about what those shadows might be trying to tell us.
So not beating ourselves up for having those less than desirable traits, but approaching them with like a sense of curiosity, trying to understand how they might actually be serving us, even if it's not obvious.
Exactly. And journaling can be a really powerful tool for that. It's like creating the safe space to explore those shadow parts, to let them have a voice without judgment, and to really listen to what they have to say.
It's like having a conversation with yourself, with all of yourself, not trying to silence or shut down the parts that make us uncomfortable.
Yes. And I think as we start to do that, as we integrate those shadow parts, as we become more whole, our capacity for self-compassion, it just naturally expands too.
Because real self-compassion, it includes all of it, right? The light and the shadow. It's about being kind to ourselves, even when we're not perfect, recognizing that those imperfections, they're part of what makes us human.
They make us who we are.
And maybe that's where that deep, unshakable confidence comes from. Not from being perfect, but from accepting and embracing all of who we are.
Absolutely. And that actually reminds me, there's another thing that EVE really emphasizes, and that's the importance of taking action.
Oh, yeah. They're big on not just learning these principles, but actually putting them into practice in our everyday lives.
Right. It's one thing to understand it all, but it's another thing entirely to actually do something with it.
Like, It's one thing to know about the shadow self, but it's another thing to actually do the work of integrating those parts of ourselves.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Why is it so hard for people to make that leap, to go from understanding to action?
Oh, fear, 100%. Fear of failure, fear of what other people will think, even sometimes fear of success. It can be really scary to get out of our comfort zones, you know, to challenge those old beliefs, those patterns we've been holding on to for so long. And when you're talking about something as personal as shadow work, that fear, it can be even more intense.
Because it's not just external. It's like we're going into the depths of ourselves.
Exactly. And it's important to acknowledge that feel, to be kind to ourselves, but not let it stop us from doing the work. Because you know what often helps with fear?
What's that?
Action. Taking action, even if it's scary.
It's like that saying, leap and the net will appear. You have to kind of trust that you have what you need to handle whatever comes up, even if you can't see the whole path laid out in front of you.
And you know, sometimes the support we need, it shows up in the most unexpected ways.
Like those financial surprises EVE talks about.
Maybe. When we align with who we truly are, when we start living in a way that feels true to ourselves, I think the universe has a way of supporting us, even in ways we never imagined. And it's kind of amazing when that happens.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? Like, what if we've been approaching this whole idea of a better way the wrong way? It's not about some one-size-fits-all definition of success or happiness, right?
Totally. It's about what resonates with you deep down, what feels right for your own journey.
And maybe, just maybe, when we start tuning into that, those other things, those more, I don't know, unexpected benefits, like those financial surprises or faster healing, maybe those are just natural byproducts.
It's like, what if those things aren't actually the goals, but they just kind of come along for the ride? When we're aligned internally, when we have that self-trust, that peace, who knows what's possible?
Right. It's like the universe saying, okay, I see you're finally listening to yourself. Now watch this.
I love that. And that's not to say it's going to be all smooth sailing, right? Yeah. There will still be challenges, but maybe, just maybe, with these EVEE principles, we're better equipped to handle those challenges with more grace, more resilience.
We're tapping into that inner strength we might not even realize we have.
Exactly.
So it all comes back to that question, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. What if there's a better way? And I think it's a question we all need to ask ourselves. What about you listening right now? What part of your life could use a fresh perspective?
Where are you holding yourself back? Are you clinging to old patterns, beliefs that no longer serve you? What are you afraid of?
What if, and just hear me out here, what if you decided to trust that inner voice a little more? That intuition that's always there, even when you try to ignore it.
What if you dare to believe that you already have everything you need to create a life that truly lights you up?
Those are some powerful questions, and I think they're worth sitting with for a bit. So as we wrap up this deep dive into EVEE, I hope you'll take those questions with you. Explore them, be curious, and see where they lead you.
Because this isn't about reaching some finish line, you know, becoming some perfect version of yourself. It's about the journey, the whole messy, beautiful journey of becoming who you truly are.
And maybe, just maybe, by remembering, trusting, creating, allowing, and experiencing, you'll unlock a level of confidence, joy, and fulfillment you never thought possible.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking those big questions, and keep trusting that inner wisdom. It knows the way.